different perspectives on Hashgacha, especially that of the Ramban, and we're clarifying back and forth what exactly does the Ramban hold, and how much Hashgacha is there on everybody, and Beinunim, and Tzadikim, and Rishayim, and the like. And this is, of course, a very interesting question. Is there Hashgacha on everything, or the like? I would like to point out, though, that though interesting, it might not make that much of a nafka mina. And that relates to the Gemara that we saw at the very end of the shir last time. We'll actually see it again in just a moment. But the Gemara that says Yisurin ban liadcha yefashvesh b'maisav in Rachos daf Yomid Aleph. And what that tells us is that regardless of what approach you take to Hashgacha, let me give an example. Yesterday, I think it was, 2 days ago, I got a flat tire. Okay? So, it was a bit of a pain, and especially because I couldn't get the bolts off. They were on too tight. And so, okay, whatever. Yisurin. Now, so let's say I stop and think about it on my way to the flat fix, you know. Well, if you take, according to the Rambam, you know, maybe this was a random, because I'm not such a chassid, I don't think I was thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the time that I got my flat tire, and, you know, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, so regardless, everybody agrees that Yisurin ban liadcha yifash v'ish b'maisav, meaning to say, it doesn't matter whether or not, technically speaking, this is a direct act of Hashgacha, or I was left to Teva because I wasn't focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as I should, or v'chule v'chule. Everybody would agree that the right response to this is l'fashvesh b'maisav, either because this was a direct act of Hashgacha, or because, as we discussed last time, I was left to Teva because I wasn't connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that I could have been. And therefore, the response, regardless of the technical cause, should be the same. And that's something I remember hearing from Rav Tursky. So again, I think that our discussion was very interesting, but to a certain degree, it's not that much of a nafka mina, because either way, my response is the same. And that's a very important point. In other words, yifash vesh b'maisav is true, even if you don't know that it's a direct act of Hashgacha. Because even if it wasn't, even if it was Teva, so why was I subject to Teva? Why was I relinquished to the randomness of nature? That's because I wasn't connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that I should have been. So our response always has to be the same. It always has to be l'fashvesh b'maisav. Now, the topic we're going to turn to today is the problem of evil. The Ramban writes in Iov, in his Hakdama, that the problem of evil is one that is really at the root of all heresy. In other words, people sometimes think that they become kofrim because they can't prove the existence of God or v'chule v'chule. But perhaps more than anything else, it's really the problem of suffering. And not so much the problem of suffering in a philosophical way, but rather the problem of suffering in a emotional way. If you want to see that text, you could see it in page 2 of your source sheets on the left column. I don't think we'll read it now, but you can take a look there. So it's the emotional problem. And we all understand that. Seeing suffering, or our own suffering, or the like, is very very difficult to deal with, and for a religiously sensitive person, especially difficult. And so the question is, how do we deal with that? So again, we're going to focus today on the Mahalach of the Ramban. And for that, turn to your, again, not today's source sheets, we'll get to that shortly, but rather to the old source sheets on Hashgacha. And as I mentioned last time, we're going to be focusing on the development of this topic in Torah Sa'adam, Shar Gmul. The Ramban does discuss this in a number of other places, which we might refer to, but this is one of the, I think, clearest places, so we'll work on it over here. So he begins by quoting the Gemara that we just said, that if a person sees Yisurin, so yifash vish b'maisav. Second line, pishpesh v'lo matza yitla b'vitol Torah. A person examines their deeds, they don't find anything wrong. In a sense, that's pretty hard for us to imagine. But they don't, certainly not anything wrong that warrants this type of suffering. So they should assume it's bitol Torah. Later on, we'll see the Ramban clarifies this point. That bitol Torah here doesn't just mean bitol Torah per se, but it means failure to live up to our potential and take advantage of the opportunities afforded to us. The first option is Yifashish Maisav refers more to Lavin, Averos. You know, did I do any Avera? If I did an Avera, that might be the cause of my suffering. And therefore, the response is to be Shuva for that Avera. I look, and I can't come up with any Averos. But I have to then ask myself another question, which is a central component to tshuva, which is, have I lived up to my potential? Have I taken advantage of the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us? You know, we have karbanos for chet, and it's interesting, because only the most extreme chataim really warrant karbanos. Karban chatas is only brought for naver sheyesh bo kares. There are certain times an asham is brought for certain averos that might not have karis but are considered particularly egregious. When it comes to lavin, there are no karbanos for the standard lav. Person eats a chazer, or basar b'chalav, or the like. No karban. And yet, why does a person bring a karban olah? It's primarily for bitul mitzvah saseh. Now, again, there are differences. It's begadir, nedir, nedav, and the like. But a person is supposed to bring a karban for a bitul mitzvah saseh, which is fascinating because, you know, we sometimes think of a bitul mitzvah saseh as much less egregious. So it's strange that there'd be a karban for such a minor offense as being mevatel a mitzvah saseh if there's not even a karban for such a major offense such as eating basar b'chalav or nevelos or trefos. But the answer is that there's an incredible tragedy of the lost opportunity to take advantage of the opportunities offered to us. I remember a number of years ago, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein giving a Sichas Musar in a very, very passionate way about how in tshuva we think too much about averos and we don't think enough about missed opportunities. The tshuva, as it were, the karbanola, as opposed to the tshuva of the chatas. So that's what the Ramban is saying over here. A person experiences Yisurin, they must first consider any Averos they did, and second, they must consider any Bitul Mitzvah Saseh. And the example used is Bitul Torah, because Bitul Torah, in a sense, is the most extreme and common example of the failure, of our failure to take advantage of the gifts and the opportunities granted to us. Then, it continues, what happens if he doesn't even find that. Tala v'lo matza b'yadua shi yisurin shal avahein. So, what are yisurin shal ava? So, Rashi, Rambam understand that yisurin shal ava are yisurin that a person experiences in order to, that Hashem causes the tzaddik to experience out of love, so that he'll get more schar. In other words, if a person is a good person and he suffers in this world, that suffering is in a sense undeserved, and therefore his compensation, justice dictates that he would have to get schar in olam haba. That's the way Rashi, at least in Amud Aleph, and Brachos Hamad Aleph sounds like he says it. There's more to it in Rashi and Amud Beis. That's also the Rambam Mor Nevuchim explains. But the Rambam Mor Nevuchim says, well, that actually doesn't make any sense. After all, why would Hashem cause a person to suffer just to give them more payment? That seems very, very almost cruel, and really it doesn't make any sense that Hashem would cause a person to suffer just so he could pay him more. Now, it's true. In a sense, it makes sense. Obviously, the Schar Olam Haba is greater than any Schar Olam Hazeh. But that in order to get Olam Haba, the person has to suffer for no apparent reason, not for any chait, that's unimaginable. So the Rambam basically rejects this view. He acknowledges that it's the view of some in Chazal. He argues it's not the overwhelming position, it's not the majority position, it's the incorrect position. He shows from Psukim that it can't be correct. So the Ramban does accept the concept. After all, does the Gemara does say it. This Gemara doesn't bring down Molchlokas. But he explains it differently than Rashi and the Rambam, and in a way that we could perhaps understand what the purpose is. And in so doing, the Ramban really addresses another very important point, which is, what is the goal of the Karban Chatas? We were just talking about the Karban Chatas. Karban Chatas is brought for an Aveira that's done b'shogeg. Generally speaking, for the Karban Chatas, at the very least, there's no Aveira, there's no Karban done for, brought for an Aveira b'mezid, only shogeg. The question is, why do you even need to bring a Karban for an Aver b'shogeg? After all, you didn't intentionally do anything wrong. So the Rambam over here writes that there are two reasons for the Karban on the shogeg. The first one is pretty intuitive, though it's something that is mussar that we often need. The first is that the Karban is brought because there was some degree of negligence. And in fact, we know that generally speaking, there is no Karban Chatas brought for something that is Be'ones. Let's take a look over here. The middle of the third paragraph. Lefikach nikra shoge chote, afal pikein, ena shoge roi lano shashkagaso. Sorry, let's start a little earlier. Let's start from the beginning of that paragraph. Lama nikwa yisurin shal ava, val yisurin shep pirashnu yisurin shal onshin hein. The al miyut aveir shasa. Says the Ramban that yisurin shal ava are not coming from no aveiros. They're coming from the aveiros that you're not able to find, that you don't know about. That's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, you experience yisurin, look for aveiros, look for bitul mitzvos. You don't find any, so they must be coming for aveiros that you did, that you don't know about. Well, if there are averos that these are, that are the cause, the source of these yisurin, why are we calling them yisurin shel ava? Says the Ramban that the reason is like this: kigon shein bayin al shigagas maisa val halam davar keitzad aresha achol chelav b'shogeg nikra chote. We know the Torah says someone who eats chelav b'shogeg is called a chote. He has to bring the karban chatas. Shekein karaso ator b'chol makom umacheto. So what is a sin? He didn't intentionally do anything wrong. Shelo nizar be'atzmo, v'lo yari v'charid al divrei ha'makom baruch hu. The answer is that he didn't have sufficient zehiros. He didn't have sufficient charada. The person was really petrified about violating Ratzon Hashem. He would take great precaution to ensure that he doesn't do that sin. When it comes to something poisonous or dangerous, we stay very far away, even from a far-fetched possibility. Now, this actually raises a very interesting question, which we're not going to get into today. We'll allude to it. Talk about it this week, I think, or next week in Hilchos Nidus here, about kapara and the need for kapara in the event that a person did an Aveira, but the Aveira happened through a person's correctly following the general halachic process. Person goes to a kosher butcher, and has a good hechsher, they eat at somebody's house, and they were correctly following the halachic process. Lo, chazaka, and the like, and then, despite following what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they end up doing an aveira. The guy lied. You need kapara. Do you need to do tshuva? And like an interesting question, we're going to the poskim deal with at length. It's fascinating. Rishonim deal with this in Yevamos, especially it's a machlokas, achronim, long tshuva, several tshuvas in Rabbi Yehuda about this. This Ramban is a very important makor in that discussion. So again, the first reason why the chote, the person who doesn't have erev shogeg is called a chote, is because he didn't take sufficient precautions. Shelo yolcha v'lo yase davar ad sheyivdok yafe yafe yizgala davar shu muter v'roi lo lefig zerosa of shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, here perhaps we might, not clear, but we might deduce from here that the obligation that you're called a chote if you're not bodek yafe yafe, even in the event that the halacha doesn't technically mandate being bodek yafe yafe. The Rambam has such a concept, according to most mefarshim in the Rambam. For example, he holds even though vestos are lav deoraisa, and according to most mefarshim, even prisha b'shas vestos lav deoraisa, you bring a karban chatas if a person was bolanida b'shas vesta, even though there's no issa deraisa, because he was playing with fire. It's not considered onus. So in other words, Karban Chatas comes from failure to have sufficient zihiros. So the first explanation we understand, Karban Chatas is brought for lack of zihiros. And likewise, that's Yisur and Shalava. Yisur and Shalava are brought for averos that a person might have done. He might not even be aware of the avera he did. The averos were not done b'mezit, they were done b'shoge. Due to a lack of zehiros, which also demands kapar. But then he says another explanation. Shekol davar aser melach lecha nefesh umitame osa dichsev v'nitme simbam. Oh, everything that's aser. Now, interesting question work to figure out is kol davar aser. Simple reading is anything. We'll return to this, is melach lecha nefesh, has some type of effect on the soul. We read last week's parsha, v'nitmei simbam. What's the pshat? Lefikach nekra shogei chote. It sounds like over here he's saying that even though there is no negligence, there's still a need for some consequence or some response. Mashal ma'adavar domeh, a person accidentally ingests poison. So they'll get sick or might even die. And nobody says, well, you know, you didn't mean to do it, so you'll be okay. So the mitzvos of the Torah reflect true ontological reality, metaphysical reality. We don't always know why. Oftentimes we don't know why. But if the Torah said, don't eat chalev, that is because chalev is harmful to us in some way. And therefore, there's going to be an effect. There's going to be timtum halev, or lichlucha nefesh. At the same time, it's not really appropriate for the typical punishments for the chote b'shogeg, because such as a gehenim, because after all, there was no intention to sin, perhaps not even any negligence. Ella shutzarch miruk me'oso avon. But he still needs some type of cleansing from that sin. Uliskadesh ulitar mimenu, kadesh ye ra'ui lamala haugenes lamaisa vatovim ba'olam haba. So that he will be able to experience the appropriate madrega in olam haba. Meaning to say, in a certain sense, olam haba is the spiritual pleasure that a person experiences based off of the spiritual madrega he's reached in this world. But the problem is that this lichloch hanefesh will prevent him from experiencing that. So that's very unfortunate, because he's ra'oi for a certain madrega in olam haba based off of his maisim tovim, but unable to experience that based off of the lich lecha nefesh. And therefore, lefika chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al amo v'al chasidav, v'nosan lam karbanos l'skaver ben al shkagos. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us kapara for shkagos specifically. In other words, it's dafka, the shogeg, that warrants a karban. A karban is an incredible gift. The karban is what allows us, and again, we can't always understand how this works. The Ramban, in the beginning of Vayikra, discusses the purpose of karbanos. He says, on a level of pshat that we could understand, it's to make a person aware of the gravity of their misdeed and help them in the process of tshuva by concretizing the effects of their sin. The real reason is something that could only be understood al pisod. We're not going to get into how, but the goal of the karban, or the purpose of the karban, is precisely this. It's allowing a person, says the Ramban, to not have to be punished in Olam Haba for those averos that they did b'shogeg. In other words, let's try to just explain a little more. Even Gehenna is not just about punishment. It's much more about tikkun. Even Gehenna is a gift. It's a matana for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the Makoros about Gehenim, even the metaphors that are used, such as fire or busha or the like, are all about cleansing the person to allow him to experience Olam Haba. So they're all about cleansing the person. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his great Ava, gave a person the opportunity to cleanse themselves in Olam Hazeh, so they wouldn't need to experience that cleansing process after they die in a more painful way. And that is the gift of Korbanos. Uliskaper bis ukshein beis hamikdash kaya mishaleach aleim yisurin lemarek mehen osan shkagos. Now, the question is, what do we do nowadays? We don't have the opportunity to bring the karban chatas for the shogeg. The answer is that yisurin v'olam hazeh serve this purpose, to cleanse, and specifically to cleanse for the shkagos. Uliskaper b'yisurin kedei liyosan nekian li'olam haba. Kishem shakarbanos ava v'chem lal Yisrael. Ulekarvan tachas kanfei hashchina, shenemar olas tamid ledor esichem, pesach olmeid lefnei Hashem, asher yivayid lachem shama, v'nuadati shama lefnei Yisrael, v'nikdash bechvodi, v'shachanti b'soch bnei Yisrael, v'yisi lachem lelokim, v'yedu ki ani Hashem lokeyem, asher hotzesi osam eretz Mitzrayim, l'shachni b'sochem, kach yisurin halalu ava v'chem lal ha'adam, aval mikol makom afilu yisurin elu l'kapar l'miru k'chei teimban. So that's why they're called yisurin shal ava. Because it's the great Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us these Yisurin. Now, let's keep in mind that not all Yisurin are Yisurin Shel Ava, right? Yisurin Shel Ava is option three. Option one is Yifashvesh V'maisav, to look for Averos, then to look for Mitzvos, right? Yisurin are to wake us up, to cause us introspection, to bring us to an awareness of what's valuable and meaningful in life, but there's also this other element, and this is a gift. Nobody likes Yisurin, but they're Ahava, because they're this present that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us to allow us to achieve some degree of atonement in this world, which prevents us from having to experience suffering after we die. So, fundamentally, this Ramban is a paradigm shift. Yisurin Shel Ahava is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes a person to suffer so he can give him Olam Haba. That's true in a sense. But it's still Bayin HaLachet. And their Ahava, they're a sign of love. And that's the Yisod over here. The question again, we're not going to get into is, we noted before, he says, Kol Davar, is this true for all things? Why are there only Chatas for Averu Sheish Bam Kares? Is that because the Timtum of Kares is greater? Is there no Timtum for other things? Are there some things? What about Machalos Asuros? There are Makoros, Gran Shabbos. Mishios Shem talks about this extensively, that Machalos Asuros is a greater degree of Timtum Alev. All these are interesting questions, but I'd like to go on. So that's what he begins with. Now, the Ramban over here continues and brings proof to this idea of that this is the correct understanding of Yisurin Shel Ahava. If you look, for example, page 5, he brings an interesting proof in the second parak chelak that this is the correct understanding. The Gemara there says that when Rabbi Lazar was sick, his Talmidim came to visit him. They saw that he was in a great state of pain. All the Talmidim started crying. Rabbi Akiva seems very happy. The Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Akiva, you know, what are you so excited about? It's not so nice. So, Amar Lahem, third line over there, Mepnesh Ma'atam Bochem, Amar Lo Efe, Sefer Torah, B'tzar, V'lo Nivke, Amar Lahem, L'kach, Ani Misachik, Shekolz Man, Shani Roe, Rabbi She'en Yeno Machmetz, V'en Pishtano Loka, V'en Shimno Mavish, V'en Dovshano Madvish, Amarti Shemachas Shalom Kibel, Rabbi Olamo, Achshav, Shani Roe, Rabbi B'tzar, Ani Sameach, Amelo Akiva Klum Chasartani Chasarti Minatoira Klum. Amelo Limaditanu Rabbeinu Ki Adam Ein Tzadik Baratz Asher Yastav Lo Yachta. In other words, what did Rabbi Akiva say back to Rabbi Lazar? You did Chataim, and that's why you're suffering. Now, if Rashi was right, Rambam was right, that Yisurin Shel Ahava come even when a person hasn't been Chotei, so why didn't he say, Rabbi, I didn't say you did any Averos. He said Yisurin Shel Ahava. But what does he say? He said, Rabbi, you did some Averos. So you're fortunate to experience these Yisurin now. You know, one has to know how to do this. When Eov's friends told that variation of that to Eov, Chazal called that Onas Dvarim. In this story, Rabbi Kiva was able to convey that message in a way that, as we see, that Reb Lazar felt better, not worse. But the point is that from the fact that Rabbi Akiva attributes Reb Lazar's Yisurin to some types of Chataim shows that Yisurin Shel Ahava are also a result of some type of Chait. Okay. Now let's read on a little bit. And so far from the above analysis, we might conclude that all suffering is meant to be some type of atonement for sin, right? Either intentional sin or accidental sin. However, the Ramban says that too is not the whole story. First of all, the Ramban talks about how everyday aches and pains, what he calls over here in the next paragraph, ha'hovim b'noheg shel olam v'abayin al kol adam, things like headaches, and that people get after standing in the sun for too long, are also not necessarily meant to atone, but they're a result of being part of the natural world. And thus, the Gemara, which we mentioned last time, in Erchin, on Des Tezvav, says that only Rishoyim Gemurim are spared from such suffering. Right? It says, Kol She'avu Arbaim Yom B'lo Yisurin Kibel Olamo. What's the pshat? Because to be protected against such everyday aches and pains would require as it were, using up your zchuyos, which is something that a tzaddik wouldn't want to do. Let's read it. So, Odis Giru Chachamim, Derech Acheres B'Yisurin, Amru, Tanu Be Rabbi Shmuel, Kol She'avu Alav Arban Yom, Belo Yisurin, Kibel Olam, Pirish HaInyan Hazeh, Hu, Min HaMikrim HaHovim B'Noeg Shel Olam, Barbayin Al Kol Adam, Kigon She'imtza Torech B'Maisav Lefamim, V'Yichav Gufok She'ocham Achal Imrayim, She'enan Hagunim Lo, Lefi Teva Shelo, right, indigestion, from eating spicy things, V'Yachosh B'Rosho, K'Shiyamud B'Shemesh, V'Yelo Minam Ve'Oraos, Shebos Afilu, Alam Lachim, Kigon Elu, Ein Yitzol Mehen, Ela Rosh HaGomer L'Gehenim, Shemekabel Olamo V'Shomrin, Osom and Hashemayim Lassos, Kol Ritzono Ba'Olam Hazeh, Shenemar, Yachilu D'Rachav V'Chol Eis, Aval Shar Bnei Adam, Ein, Bein Tzadikim, Bein Rishayim, Kulam Bechlal Min Hagu Shel Olam, V'Zeo Shepirshu, Bigimara, Sham Be'erchin, Adhechan, Tachlis Yisurin, Kol She'argu Lo Bagad Lo Bosh Ve'eno Miskabel Alav, Ve'atkifu Alav, Ve'helu Afilu Nefach, Lo Chaluko, Afilu Hoshit Yadu Lekis Litol, Shalosh Ve'alu B'yadu Shtayim, Ve'chol Kach Lama, Titanei Be'er Shmal, Kol She'argu Alav Ve'chulei, Ze'enin Acheru, Enum Yisurin, Shemishtanim Ba'mnei Adam, Ze' Mizet Be'rov, Aval Yisurin Mamish, So he distinguishes between Yisurin Mamish, which are Kapara, versus Yisurin that are Noeg Sheba Olam. And this reflects Ramban's complex perspective on Hashgacha in general that we discussed last time. In other words, you shouldn't see that, you shouldn't think that the types of Yisurin are, that even a tzaddik will have, you know, when they pull up the wrong amount of coins from their pocket or whatever it is, that those are a result of hashgacha. Those are noeg sheba olam, whereby only under unusual circumstances will Kadosh Baruch Hu cause a person to be spared from them. Okay. Then he talks about, very interesting, a discussion. He gets into a discussion about what is an esayon, and what is its purpose? And then he turns to this, which is a very important piece, similar to what he says in Pe'al Shel Torah, but some different nuances. But then he turns to the question of the suffering of the righteous. So that's on page 5, left column. Akedel sheish b'tzadikim drachim harbi l'kapar achish b'rishayim. So he's going to discuss actually both points, the Shalvas Rishayim and the Yisurei Tzadikim. So Yesh Atolon Lo Le'avido. So I'll just go back for a second. So again, so he told us some of the reasons why the righteous might suffer, right? Either the cleansing of the soul, like we explained before, the normal, ordinary aches and pains that everybody experiences, sometimes to show the world the extent of HaKadosh, of the tzaddik's love and devotion to Hashem by their remaining silent despite experiencing agony. That was in his discussion of the Nisayon. If you look there, just where it's big on the right column, towards the bottom, Nimsa Nisayon Hazeh Mida Tova, Shadim Mekabel Bo Schar V'Shema, Shmosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Mes'ala Bekach Lehodia Ad Hechan Tagia Avasu V'Yirasu B'Lev Avadav Ve'ach Nimshachin Achar Mitzvosa V'Osim Mitzono Kertzonam. Right, so the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes a tzaddik will experience Yisurin as a Nisayon, the goal of the Nisayon is, among other things, to show the world the tachlis of the Av of the tzaddik, who remains faithful and loyal despite their suffering. And over here, now in the left column, he's discussing why a Rasha might prosper. So why are they? Yesh Atol in top line, Yesh Atol lo lavido kedelit en schar miot maisav tovim shasa kemosha pirashnu v'yesh poskin lo chayim v'shalva l'chesed avosav kinyan shenamar b'nei revaim yeshvu l'cha al kisei Yisrael v'yesh emarichin ad sheyashav b'tshuva shlema kedei hashasa l'menashe u'mina ge'otnim. So first of all, what has he said? He said sometimes the tzaddik experiences pleasure to be rewarded for his good deeds, like the Gemara Bracho says. Sometimes it's due to the merit of his ancestors. Sometimes God grants them long life to give them an opportunity to repent. Now he quotes an additional reason from the Gaonim, meaning it's not in Chazal, but the Gaonim said this. Shamar Shakadosh Baruch Hu posik shavu l'Rishayim l'nasos ben anshei arasha v'atarmis shiu mischazkin v'risham v'omdim. Right, so it's sort of like the opposite pshat that he said before, to serve as an assignment for other people. When other people see the prosperity of the wicked, does that, you know, will that temporal success challenge their faith? He writes b'nei tarmis. In other words, only a person who's people of deception will sort of be fooled by this. But it gives people an excuse to pursue wrongness, and so on. So these are some of the reasons. Good. So here's really where the most important part of his discussion begins in Kuf Yud Ches. V'mtasho v'toma harei she'tiknu chachamim drachim halalu l'fi kabbalasam l'fi echrei psukei Torah v'nevi'im imkein mahu zeh she'nevi'im tzvachim ala inyan hazeh u'mahu she'toma yirmiya al rishayim tzadik ata Hashem ki ariyevei lecha ach mishpatim adaber oscha madua derech rishayim tzalecha v'amar David eich Rik zachisi levavi verchatz b'nikayon kapai v'chulei v'tami Yishayahu al atzadikim lama tisanu Hashem midrachecha tashiach libenu mirasecha v'amar Chabakuk al shneim lama tirani avon v'amal v'tabit shod v'chamas l'negdi v'ksiv ki rasha machtir al atzadik al ken yitze mishpat mu'ukal v'nisvakchu iyo v'chaver v'aldavar hazeh harbe v'rabbosenu atzmam amru en biadenu lo shalvas rishayim af lo yisar tzadikim. Ask the Ramban a very powerful question. He says, look, if the matter is so simple, why is it that the greatest tzadikim throughout the ages were so perplexed by this? The greatest prophets ask, madua derech rishayim salecha, Yirmiyah, Yishayahu, Chabakuk, David HaMelech. You know, you learn the Gemara Brachos, and it's very simple. The whole parsha is very simple. You know, tzaddik that is suffering is tzaddik sheino gamor. Rasha that suffering is Rasha sheino gamor. Moshe asked the question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the answer. So, if it's so straightforward, right? What's everybody screaming about? Yirmiyahu didn't know that. Like Chazal even say, right? Ein biyadeinu. We can't explain it. We don't understand it. So what's the pshat? It's clearly the matter isn't so simple. Da. Sheishma was in Shechokim b'zayis Amida. So the truth is Chazal argue about this point. Yeish men misha omer ein misa b'lo chet v'ein yisrim b'lo afon. So if you take a look at the first source in the supplemental sheet I gave you today, top right of the first page is the Gemara on Shabbos. And over here we have a debate whether there's Misa b'lo chet and Yisurin b'lo avon. Rav Ami says, the first line, Ein Misa b'lo chet. Dechsiv, ha-nefesh ha-chotas hi-tamos, ben lo yisa ba-avon ha-av, ta-av lo yisa ba-avon ha-ben. Tzidkas ha-tzadik, alav tiyav, v'resha ha-shavesha, alav tiyav, v'chulei. Ein Yisrael b'lo avon, dechsev ufakarati v'shevet pish'am, uv'negoyim avonam. So according to Rav Ami, it's pretty straightforward. If a person suffers, if a person dies, it's because they sinned. Justice! Justice! But the Gemara asks, meisve. And the Gemara concludes, you can read the Gemara inside later, but it's late, so we'll just see the Ramban's paraphrasing. Look back at the Ramban again. Yesh mishomer shein misa bilochet ve'en yisurim bilo'avon, what we just saw from Rav Ami. V'nidchu devarav b'gemara ve'en misa bilochet, at least with respect to misa, his opinion is rejected. Now, parenthetically, it is interesting, because if you look at some of the Rishonim, including the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, he's machriel like Rav Ami. The Gemara, Pasha Pshat, rejects his opinion. Maybe another time we could talk about what the Rambam thought about this. But the Ramban accepts the simple reading of the Gemara, that the opinion of Ein Misa B'lo Chet is rejected. So there are people that die B'lo Chet, right? Now, this challenges what we've concluded above, right? Until now, we've basically said that all suffering and pain are a result of chet, except for maybe, you know, getting heartburn from eating chili. But other than that, so what's the pshat in those people that die without chet? Sheyesh meisim b'itayu shel nachash hakadmoni. In other words, when Adam was chote, so misa was introduced into the world, and that misa became a reality that had to be experienced by everybody. It was a consequence of Adam's sin, perhaps, but it's something that everybody has to live with. V'hu chato shel Adam arishon shenigzar misa alav v'al toldosav b'shvil chato kinyan shenemar be'eli u'beveso. Very interesting idea that descendants sometimes experience the consequences of the decisions of their ancestors. We die because of the chet of Adam. Eli's descendants don't live as long because of what Eli and his sons did. So the Ramban notes, though, that the Gemara's conclusion about whether there's Yisurin Bo'al Chet is unclear. Avalam Yisuk Yisurin Bo'al Chet Shekanim Lav. Kemo B'tayo Shal Nachash Izkir HaMaksha. Avalim Yisurin Chinam Bo'al. In other words, when we say it's Bo'al Chet, it's not Bechinam, because, as we said, it's a consequence of the Chet that was done in the world, that had an effect on the world. Namu B'brachos V'chulei V'chulei. Now, let's try to understand this a little more. Ramban writes that if you were to hold, like Rav Ami, that Ein Misa B'lo Chet, so then you'd have to say that the questions of the Nevi'im, Habakkuk, and Yirmiyahu, and Yeshayahu were just cries of pain. They weren't actually questions, because the answer to the question is very simple. There's Yisurin, there must have been Chet. But since the Gemara concludes that there is Misa B'lo Chet, so then the questions that these tzaddikim were asking were indeed questions. Because there is suffering that's not a result of Chet. And that's something that one can ask about. And in fact, that is exactly what the tzaddikim ask about, because there's no rational explanation that can justify their pain. And so these tzaddikim ask, why do the righteous suffer? Because if there's misa b'lo chet, there's no rational explanation. And that is exactly what these tzaddikim were asking. So according to Rav Ami, the question was just cries of pain. But according to the Gemara's conclusion, these were legitimate questions. They're genuine questions. They're questions that even the greatest of prophets did not understand. And thus, they ask. And in fact, the Ramban continues and says this was exactly the question of Eov. Eov could not contemplate any possible rationale for his agony. And thus he asked. Likewise, the Ramban explains, this is the Pshat in the Gemara Menachos, when Moshe Rabbeinu sees the flesh of Rabbi Akiva being flayed with combs. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Zu Torah v'zu Schara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, Shtok, Kach Ala b'machshava lefanai. Meaning to say, again, this pain that was experienced was not something that could be explained. Skip a little to where he, after he quotes that Gemara Menachos, towards the, it starts at the very bottom of page 5, turning on to page 6. Return to page 6. What's the pshat over here? Ratzu chachamim lomar shein misasul shal biyakiva biyisurin halalu re'uya lo lenakos mimenu miut maisim rayim. Lefisha yatzadik gamor kol yamav. Interesting, by the way, kol yamav, right? Kol yamav, what do you mean? Biyakiva was. Oh, exactly. Now, you see the koch of tshuva, right? Exactly, it was tshuva shleima. So, even if he wasn't the greatest guy earlier in his life, he certainly would not be punished for that. And therefore, he's a tzaddik gamor. So, his suffering was totally unjustified. Allah cha'inyan na'alam. V'kach ala b'machshava ba'al machshavos yisbar cheftzo v'ratono. In other words, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, you can't understand this. Now with this, the Ramban turns to the book of Iyov. And he notes basically that the entire book of Iyov is addressing this question. If you remember the book of Iyov, Iyov, is the Pasuk tells us at the beginning, was Yahr Elokim. He experiences suffering. Initially, he accepts it. Then he stops accepting it. His friends come, three friends come, and they try to basically justify his suffering in light of divine justice and providence, and Iyov doesn't accept that idea. He says, you know, I know who I am and I know what I did, and what I'm experiencing is not fair. And they said, no, you obviously sinned, v'chulei v'chulei. And the back and forth goes on for many chapters. And then, towards the end of the book, starting in chapter 32, Elihu shows up. And Elihu gives this long speech. It goes from chapter 32 to 37. And the Ramban notes over here, again, I wish we could read this inside, but we're out of time, so I'm going to just summarize. Ramban notes that Elihu doesn't seem to add very much that's different than what the first three friends said. In fact, Elihu comes right at the beginning in Lamed Beis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, and says, like, both Iyov is wrong and the friends are wrong. He says, Vayichar af Elihu b'Iyov, charapo al tzadko nafsho me'elohim. So Iyov was wrong for basically saying that he's more righteous than God. And then he also says he was angry, v'shloshes v'yav charapo al asher lo matz'o ma'aneh, v'yarshi'u as Iyov. And the friends are all wrong because they didn't find any answer, so they condemned Iyov, and they were wrong for condemning Iyov, so I don't understand. Says the Ramban, l'chor, one of them was right. Either Iyov was right, it was unjust, or the friends are right, it was just. Says Elio, you're both wrong. How could that be? And it's clear from the text that Elio is introducing something new, but it's not at all clear what exactly he's introducing. But Iyov seems to accept Elihu's answer after having rejected all the other theories of theodicy, even though, again, Elio's words are more obscure than anybody else's. So what's going on here? Take a look again. The tira Iyov misha sheshama divrei Elihu b'tshuva hi she'inyanam oresh hu inyan chadash ve'eno dom elamaneh chavei rav u'kemo she'amar velo arach elav milin u'v'amrechem lo ashivenu lo kiseach piv la'anos. Vine ze yorish a kibel devarav, who atain vayu atainos haheim maspikos lesheilos of ad, shekibel alav mehen shtika, v'chein amar lo im yeshmilan hashiveni. Right? So there's something here that Elihu said. Now, the Ramban, in his commentary on Iyov, as well as here more Bekitzer, goes through and explains the philosophies of each of the three friends, including Elihu. The Rambam also does this in Mor Nevuchim. Many of the Rishonim also, you know, even though when you read the book of Iyov superficially, there's just like lots of things being said, and they all reflect philosophical perspectives. The Rambam explains there's four perspectives on Hashkacha, each reflected by the four people in Iyov, and then sort of a fifth represented by the vision from the whirlwind at the end. Anyway, so what's going on? So the Ramban tells us that Elihu is revealing a great secret. Now, the Ramban doesn't tell you what that secret is, but he tells you that Iyov was satisfied with his answer, that this answer of Elihu really solves the problem. So what's the great secret? So, the answer is Gilgul Neshamos. Now, first of all, how do you see that in Eliyahu's words? So the answer is, if you read Eliyahu's words very carefully, as some of them are farshim, not the Ramban, because the Ramban can't show you how you see it in the Psukim, because he can't tell you what it is. We'll talk about that also in a minute. But the Mefarshim show how you do see it in a number of places. We'll just look at two Psukim in Eov in Eliyahu's response that highlight this point. There's many more, but you see it in your second source on today's new packet after the Gemara Shabbos. Vayichunenu vayomer pida'eu meirede shachas matzasi chofer rutafash bisaromi noar yashuv liyemei alumav. So what does this mean? Hashem is gracious to him, meaning to the sufferer, and he says, Hashem says, redeem him, pideyu, from going to Gehenna, mired shachas, matzasi chofer, I found a ransom. Ru tafash besaro, his flesh, minoar, his flesh will be more tender than a child, yashuv limei alumav, he will be restored to the days of his youth. And a little later, hein kol ela yif'al el, pa'amayim shalosh im gaver. Behold, Hashem does all these things twice, three times with a person. Lashiv nafsho mini shachas, to bring back his soul from shachas. Le'or be'or hachayim, to be enlightened in the light of the living. These references to restoration to childhood, to a return to youth, to bringing back the soul to the light of day, two, three times, are all a reference to Gilgul Neshamos. There are many others as well. Now, let's look at how the Ramban refers to this as. Afal pi, a little later on. Afal pi kain, is on the left column on page 6. Afal pi kain, im ha'alama hazu, yesh betayin hazo, sod nimser la'anshei ha'Torah v'Kabbalah. So this idea is a secret given to the Anshei Torah v'Kabbalah, behu ramuz b'divrei rabbeinu v'nichlal binyan sod ha'ibor. This is referred to by Chazal as the sod ha'ibor. What is the sod ha'ibor? So this is an interesting point. The sod ha'ibor, the pashup shot, is the secrets that relate to the ibor, like extending the month, extending the year. Now, the Rishonim already point out, it's very interesting that it's clear from the Gemara that this Sod HaIbor was like top secret. So, like, why is the halachos concerning Ibor Shana and Ibor Chodesh like so super duper top secret? So, I'll be pshat. Some Rishonim say maybe it's because if people knew the rules, they would have tainus, you know, Chazal, you know, on Sanhedrin when they extended a year. Hey, this isn't a good year. This was a good year. But the Ramban says there's something deeper going on here, and especially the word ibor, like pregnant. Okay. So the Ramban says, though, this secret could only be transmitted to Talmidim ha-re'uyim, v'hu tshuvaso shel Elihu al tochechosav shel Eov. It is the response to the tainos of Eov. V'ata yivada shehaya Eov tzadik gamor be'ena v'hayu yisurin shelo al-chet v'aveira l'fidaito ad shikari tagar aleim kamo shizkarno. So Eov was right when he said that there was nothing that he did that warranted this type of suffering. Now, why doesn't Ramban actually tell us what he's talking about? So the answer is that Ramban presumably understood that explaining this concept would be a violation of the restrictions on the public teaching of mystical ideas. It's very interesting because I think, as we noted at the beginning of the year, the secrets of Kabbalah have become more and more revealed to the world. So just a couple, you know, generations after Ramban, when commentaries on Ramban or explaining Rambans like Rabbeinu Bachya and the Rikanadi and the like are explaining this Ramban, they all tell you what it is. So in a couple generations from Ramban to Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher, Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher just not too much later, right? He lived from 1255 to 1340, the Rikanadi 1250 to 1310, but they already explained the Ramban. That's how I know what he's talking about. I wouldn't even know to look there necessarily, but in the Chevelle edition, in the footnotes, he's quoted. You know, and now everybody knows about Gilgul Neshamos. The Mishnah Berurah talks about it. It's like no big deal. Now we have to understand what's going on here, and I was hoping to actually discuss that. Why it is that there's a gilui of the things that are once only the perspective of Mikubalim relates to the coming closer of Mashiach and the like, but not for now, I guess. We don't have time to do that. But what I would like to do is to say this. So first of all, what I was hoping to talk about is a number of mitzvos that the Ramban and other Mefarshim explain using the idea of Gilgul Neshamos. Of course, the most famous is Yibum and Chalitza. Rabbeinu Bachya explains that's why the process of Chalitza is taking off the shoe. It's Avelos, because Yibum would have given the chance for continuity of the deceased brother. There's a lot more to say about this, but I'd like to perhaps try to explain one concept that we could understand a little bit based off of this, and that's the idea of mazel. And I guess with this we'll have to close. So take a look at the Gemara. Again, there's this new sheet from today. It's a very famous Gemara from Moed Katan, bottom right. Mar Rava Chaye Bane, missing a word, Amar Mar, I think. So Chaye Bane Mazone Lav Bischusa Talia Milsa Ella Bimazla Talia Milsa. So how many children a person will have, his parnasa, his lifespan are not Bischus Ella Bimazla. Now that doesn't mean it's entirely b'mazel. We know from many psukim, as the Rashba points out over here, they are in fact tali b'schus, but sometimes these things are not talui b'schus, but b'mazel. D'harava v'rav chista tarvayu rabban and tzadiki habu. Rabban and Rav Chista were both great tzadikim. Mar matli vasi mitra, mar matli vasi mitra. They both were such tzadikim that their tefilos could bring rain. Rav Chista chai tishin v'tartin shanin. Rav Chista lived a long life. Rabba chai arbain. Rabba short life, be Rav Chista shisin hilule, be Rabba shisin tichli. Chista had a lot of nachas from his many children. The opposite for Rabba, be Rav Chista smid al chalve velo mit bay, be Rabba nahama disari leinchi velo mishtakach. Chista had lots of food. Rabba didn't have enough. Amar Rabba hani tlas mili. Okay, so for now that's. So what's the idea here? What's the idea of mazel? So this is a big sugya, what mazel is. But I want to see one makor for you, with you on this, which relates to this. And that's from the Gain, top left of the page. Says the Gain. Mi shahaya rasha begilgul rishon, moidu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chisaron halavana, v'az hu b'chisaron kol yamav, afal pishu achshav tzadik gamor. B'zeu tzadik v'ralo, kemo shkasa b'zohar, Amru, the Gemara we just see, saw that Bani Chai Mazone lav b'schus Talia Milsa ella b'mazla. What's mazel, right? Some say, that guy is bad mazel, right? Because look, Nebuch, he had such a hard life. Sometimes it's true. It's lav b'schus ella b'mazla. So what's mazel? So is it arbitrary? So says Ramban, no. A person is given a particular mazel. Why? Because of their Gilgal. Okay, well, what does that mean? So the yesod is like this. It's a very important idea. We all have heard many times that everybody has a certain tafkid. And their tafkid in life, or they're given the resources, the tools, the kochos, in order for them to fulfill their tafkid. That's the yesod here of mazel. One person, their avodah in life, might be to be Oved Hashem mitoch Yisurin. So the Yisurin they experience is La Bischusa, Ela B'Mazla. Mazel is the idea that the things that a person experiences not due to Schuyos. That's what Mazel is. If a person is born into poverty or born with a health condition, so obviously that's Lav Vischusa. They were born into it. So why do they have it? Mazel. What's Mazel? Mazel is their tafkid. It's the tools they're being given for them to fulfill their tafkid. There are things in life, when a person suffers in life, sometimes it's Bischusa. It's reactive. It's based off of the things that they did, either as a punishment or a wake-up call or the like. That was the first half of the sugya that the Ramban talked about. And sometimes it's not Bischusa. It's B'mazla. Why does one person have one mazel and another person have a different mazel? So the Sfarim explain. Again, you could see some of them over here that we're not going to get to read inside today. That could be for one of two reasons. Sometimes, due to their shorish haneshama, they have a particular tafkid that calls for certain things. And sometimes, as we saw in Nagra, that it's for them to rectify certain things that they didn't properly do in their last life. Now, let's try to explain. It's not the pshat that they're being punished for their last life. We say, a person says, experience is suffering, right? Child's born with the disease, and they suffer. So, if you follow the Mahalich of Ramban, and most of the people with most Jewish thinkers, I think, again, there were many, there were Rishonim and Gaonim who disagreed with the concept of Kabbalah, but it's the more became the more predominant approach. Maybe it always was the more predominant approach. So what's the pshat? So if you say, they're being punished for what they did in their previous life. Well, that's not very fair. I don't remember anything about my previous lives. So why should I suffer for whatever I did the last time around? That's not the pshat. It's a tikkun. It's being placed, the way some Sfarim put it, is that every person has to do all Taryag mitzvah. So what they didn't rectify in previous lives, they have to rectify now. It's not a punishment. Every neshama can be misaken many great things. And we're given the opportunities to be misaken those things. And if we didn't do it the first time around, then we come back a second time around to have those tikkunim. It's not suffering for sins. It's being placed in an opportunity for those tikkunim. Such as, for example, the Ramban's example of to be Ovid Hashem mitoch Yisurin. And that's the Yisod. That's what Mazel is all about. Sometimes Taka Mazel could change, because maybe my Tafkid in this place is to do a certain thing. So therefore, I'm having difficulties. I go to a different place, and I'll have a different role, something else I could accomplish. That's what it means when we say Mashanim, Mako Mashanim, is not Mazel. That's Agav, what's meant when we say Mazel Tov. Otherwise, what does Mazel Tov mean? Right? But anyway, that's all for another time, because we're out of time. I apologize for going a little late. Much, much more to say about this topic, but I think we should go on. But if you want to understand it better, just make sure to read this Ramban inside. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everyone.